Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. You can also find us on Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, Facebook at Locked On Bulls. Email us with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report and NBC Sports. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. Cody, Jimmy Butler, podium game against Venezuela.
Team USA, 113 points in a 44-point rout of the Venezuelans. Jimmy Butler had 17 of those points. 4-7 shooting, 8-8 from the free throw line. He's getting to the rim in international play, just like you would hope he would do next season for the Bulls. Just what he's done last year for the Bulls. He got the free throw line a lot. I don't know the exact numbers off the top of my head. I think it was about top 5, top 10, right, I think, in the NBA. We can look that up. But Jimmy Butler acquitted himself well, I think, with his best Olympic performance to date. He did hit 1 3-pointer. He's not doing a ton in the outside shooting department, but he's going hard to the hoop. And that's something that's good to see. The Venezuelans hung around for about a quarter. Then the Americans, I guess you could say, probably kind of applied themselves. Started trying a little bit. That kind of dovetailed with Jimmy Butler playing a little more off the bench. Boogie Cousins didn't have a great game, had some foul trouble. But Paul George, Jimmy Butler, really brought it. And the Americans continue to roll 2-0 in pool play, as you'd expect. And they have their next big matchup is against the Australians on Wednesday, who are also 2-0 and actually playing some of the best basketball in Rio. But I don't know, what were your impressions of the game, Sean, from what you saw?
I think I would agree with you that, you know, what we're seeing out of Jimmy Butler is that he's kind of just playing to what we know his strengths are. He isn't really trying to shoot a lot from the outside. The couple of times that he has, his jump shot doesn't really look like it's where it needs to be, and that's something we've talked about, hoping he gets back to league average at some point from three-point range. But, you know, he's driving, he's getting to the rim, he's playing terrific defense. That's been the biggest takeaway so far is, you know, even early on in this game, that Venezuela ended the first quarter unexpectedly tied with the U.S., which I don't think anybody really saw coming. So, you know, even then, like, a lot of that was just kind of because the U.S. was missing shots that they ended up making later on in the game, and the defense stayed strong the whole time.
Yeah, and that was maybe my favorite part was Tom Thibodeau late in the game. There's a camera cutaway to him. And this is like literally final minute. Americans just dominating. I think they were up 47 right before the Venezuelans made a three to cut it to 44 in the last minute. NBC cameras.
Unacceptable.
Cut to Tibbs, who thought that was unacceptable. He turns back in his seat and, like, winces. And then, like, just yells something, chirps something out there. Like, never stops, never quits for Tibbs. Some of that has worn off on Jimmy, too.
The magic is in the work. You can't skip any steps.
That is one of Tibbs' favorite quotes during his 5-year run with the Bulls. He had many terrific quotes.
You just have to do everything you can each and every day, and the results will take care of themselves.
Those might be some of our favorites, but he applies it to Olympic basketball.
If you practice well, you play well.
How long could we possibly do this?
We're going to get into a point in the summer, in like the first week of December, when the Olympics are over, so we don't even have like Jimmy Butler Olympic updates to give you, and the training camp will still be like 3 days, like 3 weeks away. We could still do a whole episode of just Tibbsisms.
That's very true. And rounding back to Butler, he was 8th in the NBA last year in free throw attempts per game. So I think it's good to see him do that in Olympic play, because that will be a function of the offense that the Bulls need between him and Wade and Rondo, because as much as Dwayne Wade downplays their three-point shooting worries by saying that he's always found a way to get the ball in the bucket, one of the best ways to do that is going to be to get to the free throw line on the three alphas, the big three. I guess we got to call them the three alphas. That's what they termed themselves. But, business as usual, I think, for Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Good to see him get some minutes. He got 19, 20 minutes, and real easy game for Team USA. Do you see the Australians challenging them at all on Wednesday?
I think if they have any game in this round of group play that's at all challenging, it's going to be this one. Because if you look at the roster for Australia, it's obviously not as loaded as USA, because nobody is. But they have multiple NBA guys, Andrew Bogut, Patty Mills, Deli, who was loved by Bulls fans, Aaron Baines on the Pistons, Joe Inglis.
Off the bench, former Bull, the one and only, Cam Bairstow.
Bulls legend, Cam Bairstow.
So the Australians got 49 points from Dellavedova and Patty Mills. I think it'd be entertaining if they get 59 from those guys against the Americans. But Team USA has applied itself defensively for most of the tournament, most of the exhibition slate. Their defense has actually been much better than their offense, just in general. So I don't see the Australians doing too much offensively, getting loose or anything like that. But we do have a Twitter question.
Yes.
From one of our true followers, I would say. Son of Zod on Twitter asks, are Jerian Grant, Isaiah Cannon, and Spencer Dinwiddie battling for one rotation spot, or is Grant the backup point guard right now? Of course, Dinwiddie was the man the Bulls traded to get in the Cam Bairstow deal with the Pistons. He's kind of the 15th man fringe roster guy. And Grant, they got in the Derrick Rose trade from New York, first-round draft pick in 2015. Isaiah Cannon, free agent, who is kind of a, not a sharpshooter, but he's not shy about shooting.
See, that's the thing. I don't think that Isaiah Cannon is really going to be getting a lot of minutes as a backup point guard. He's more of a, I see him as more of like a Nate Robinson or Aaron Brooks type, where you just want him to come in for like a 4-minute spurt off the bench in the second quarter and just get some buckets. That's what Isaiah Cannon's role is going to be in the NBA.
Yeah, I think Cannon is more of a matchup-based player. And it's good, I think, that he's not the exact backup, because if he's the backup point guard, you feel like you got to use him every night. I think in the past with Aaron Brooks the last couple years, there were nights where Aaron Brooks probably wasn't the best matchup out there, depending on who he needed to guard on the other team, just the flow of the game, some of those things.
And he would just get a DNP.
But he had to play at times because he was the backup guy a lot of the times, you know. But with Cannon, if he's kind of your 11th man and Jerian Grant can show that he can be a backup point guard, make some progress, young guy, still has a bright future but has a lot to prove. He had, probably 5 or 6 bad games in Vegas and then really played well the last couple, I think, for the Bulls.
He won the championship game MVP.
That's very true. Valentine had the big shots, but I think Grant had like 24 points or so.
Even though Bobby Portis was the best player in that game, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, well, that's very near and dear to your heart. Bobby Portis getting proper due recognition.
For his summer league. He was selected to first team all summer league, so I guess he wasn't totally snubbed, but he should have won MVP instead of Tyus Jones.
Yeah, and Jerian Grant, the thing that got me in Vegas summer league, like, every shot he took was like a degree of difficulty, like 9.5 out of 10, it seemed. And I don't know if that was by design, by coincidence, because the shot clock was running down. I feel like some of it was, some of all of that is the best way to put it, I guess. But in an ideal world, I think we can agree that the Bulls want Jerian Grant to be their backup point guard. Now, I'm not saying he's going to go out there and get 18, 20 minutes a game. Not what we envision here. But, I mean, you gave up Derrick Rose, who I think we all agree the Bulls needed to part to break up the, the Rose-Butler combo. But you still gave up the best player in the trade, a guy who's going to be motivated this upcoming season, a guy who, when healthy and engaged, is still can be an explosive player. And you got Jerian Grant back in it. That's a deal you wanted him in. He's a guy the Bulls considered drafting in 2015, before Bobby Portis fell to him at 22, and I think Grant went right before that. But he's a guy that was on their board. So that's the guy, ideally, it's like the Doug McDermott corollary a little bit. I mean, they want Doug McDermott to be good and earn all those minutes and be great at shooting because they invested a lot of resources in him. They invested a few resources here in Jerian Grant. So in an ideal world, he is the backup point guard. I don't know, though, that that's his rotation spot right away. I think it's a battle in training camp. Don't you think? Because, I mean, the question, going back to the question was, is that locked in or is that up in the air? I think it's up in the air because he has so much to prove.
I think it's up in the air, but I think that Jerian Grant is going to get every opportunity to really come out and earn that backup point guard spot and earn those minutes. Like you said, he's a guy, he was a first-round pick, and we know Gar Foreman has told us several times that Jerian Grant was very high on the Bulls' draft board before they ended up drafting Bobby Portis there, so he's a guy I think, you know, they've had their eye on for a long time. Dinwiddie seems like they had the opportunity to make that trade. Cameron Bairstow is not an NBA rotation player at all. And Spencer Dinwiddie hasn't shown that he is so far, but he might be. And he actually looked pretty good in summer league. I think he's going to get his opportunities, but he's out of all the guys, I think he's the guy. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday. I think Dinwiddie is the guy that might see the most time in Hoffman Estates.
Yeah, in the D League. I think it is worth noting that Isaiah Cannon is 6 foot. He's undersized.
Yeah.
He's not a good defensive player, really, to start with. That's not his reputation. Not known as a
The irony is he'd be a perfect. He'd be such a perfect Tibbs guy.
Why do you say that?
Well, because if you think about all the guys that they brought in under Tibbs that were successful, you know, Nate Robinson, DJ Augustine, Aaron Brooks, those are guys that, you know, are, you wouldn't think of as like a Tom Thibodeau player. They don't play much defense. They're just kind of gunners, and they all had pretty good years under Tibbs.
Yeah, they're a little overmatched, but he's found a way to motivate these guys to bring it on both ends and at least be passing defenders. So I don't know how much Fred can get out of Isaiah Cannon, but the good news is for the Bulls, you might be able to just bench him on the nights where he's overmatched defensively. On the nights where he's got a hot hand, let him go out there and shoot till he starts missing, you know? It's kind of, in that sense, it's a low risk, not high reward, but low risk, a little bit of a reward proposition there.
Sure.
Dinwiddie is worth noting. I mean, he's the biggest guy out of those three, 6'6", so I think he probably has maybe the most hope defensively to just kind of get in passing lanes and give his guys a little bit of trouble. And obviously, I think some of this will tie back to, as well, to how much Rajon Rondo plays, because the Bulls want him to be a two-way player. He hasn't been that in recent years, but we know he has a high defensive ceiling. And keep in mind that the Bulls with Rondo, I mean, he signed a two-year deal. It's probably effectively a one-year deal with a small minimal payout for year two if the Bulls want to get out of the contract from everything that's been reported. Like, he's kind of a rental. You can run him into the ground, you know? You can play Rondo a lot of minutes. He's on the backstage of his career. So if he's playing well, just keep trotting him out there, you know? I know we're all about pacing people, but this isn't Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade we're talking about pacing here. I know he did have the knee problems a couple years ago, but Rondo, like, they just want to get as much as they can out of him this season, wouldn't you think?
Right, because you have to justify making that signing, even with all the criticism about, you know, how he's gelled in every other locker room he's been in and how it fits on the court with, you know, Fred Hoiberg wanting spacing and Rajon Rondo not being a shooter at all. You have to give him enough of an opportunity to play to justify it.
Yeah, and of course, you know, no one breaks down the fringe Bulls roster like we do here at Locked On Bulls. On that note, too, not a fringe player, but a guy looking for more minutes, just like all those guys battling for point guard spot. This guy's Doug McDermott.
Yes.
And we got a question from Coach H on Twitter. I saw some national guys say Doug McDermott could start at power forward for the Bulls. Is that legit? My initial reaction. Who are these national guys?
Yeah,
Coach H is following on Twitter.
We're going to need a little bit more specificity here. I haven't seen any national guys seriously suggesting that he might start. But I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that I don't think Doug McDermott is going to be the Bulls' starting power forward
this
season. It's
an emphatic, resounding no.
He might play some minutes there.
Correct.
This, you know, in spurts if they want to stretch the floor and go smaller. I could see that being something Fred Hoiberg looks at some point. But in order to really, you know, to play enough minutes at power forward where you could consider starting him, he has to be a lot less of a defensive liability than he has been.
Yeah, and Doug, the thing about Doug, he's always been open ever since he came to Chicago here 2 years now about his defensive limitations and just the learning curve. And I think he did feel that as the season wore on last year, he got more comfortable. But
well,
that
the
said,
thing we'll say
he's
about
got
Doug,
to be able to stay in front of people laterally better. You know what I mean?
The thing we'll say about Doug, as far as the defensive stuff, is that he tries. He's not a guy who just comes out.
True.
He's not like a
very
you know,
good point.
James Harden just out here not even like pretending to care about playing defense. McDermott tries. He just has no idea what he's doing and runs around like totally out of place, lost.
There are times defensively where Doug McDermott is moving too much.
Right.
Like, he's chasing guys he doesn't need to chase all the way out to the three-point line around the perimeter. He could just be kind of posted up on the opposite block and in position, ready to come and give weak side help, but he's kind of jabbing out to his guy, back into the play, jabbing back out. And there's a lot of things to recognize defensively when you play some of these higher level teams. And I know, like, the Warriors obviously are the prime example of a team that plays brilliant basketball, shares the ball so well. What they do is they're able to, if like Steph Curry has the ball, they can have Klay Thompson actions off the ball and just kind of really spreading defenses, making really difficult choices. Now, not everyone plays such beautiful basketball, but I use that, I guess, to serve a greater point of there are hard decisions out there sometimes when you're playing the higher level teams here. Not everyone just runs pick and roll every play. I mean, that's a prevalent set in the NBA. But, I mean, do you think Doug can take strides defensively this year? And if he can, like, how many minutes can he get? I think, obviously, we mentioned earlier, ideally the Bulls want Doug McDermott to play a lot of minutes, be good defensively, because that means their investment is paying off.
Yeah, I think they would like to see a lot of defensive improvement from him. As far as minutes, I still don't know if he's more than, like, a 20 or 25-minute-a-game player. He's a terrific shooter. He just has to be it's everything else. Like, so far, it's been, you know, he's one of the best three-point shooters in the league, but it's literally nothing else that he does at an NBA level to where you can have him on the court consistently.
Yeah. You know who else is a great shooter?
Who?
Klay Thompson.
That is true.
You know what Klay Thompson is not good at?
What?
Guarding Jimmy Butler one-on-one in touch football in Rio.
That's right. They were running some fade routes on Instagram.
Olympic fun on the off day, it appeared.
For the interest of fairness, they posted another video
okay.
that where Jimmy kind of got burned by Klay when it was his turn to defend him. So okay. it kind of goes both ways there. But you know, Jimmy Butler has been known to be a bit of a football fan. He's very good friends with Demaryius Thomas of the Denver Broncos. He's several times over the last couple seasons walked out of the United Center wearing Demaryius Thomas.
I think he has
jersey.
A lot of Demaryius Thomas jerseys, I
think
I feel like.
Do you think? I think his wardrobe is pretty much just split three ways between Jordan brand stuff that he wears because he's an endorser, Demaryius Thomas jerseys, and Jimmy Butler Marquette jerseys.
Well, that is funny because he does have locker room competition now as far as fashion goes.
That is correct. Dwayne Wade went clothes shopping. Dwayne Wade went clothes shopping today on Snapchat.
He's in LA.
He's in Los Angeles. He was working because he posted on Snapchat he was working out at the Lakers practice facility in LA. So then he went clothes shopping. And where does somebody who makes 20 whatever million dollars a year that Dwayne Wade makes go clothes shopping?
I would think a high-end place.
Louis Vuitton store, somewhere. Gucci store, Prada store. I'm just naming like designer brands that I know.
Now, you wouldn't think he'd go where like I go, where like you and I go, you know, the commoners. But guess what? Old Navy it was for Dwayne Wade.
The Union Wades are an Old Navy family.
It was funny. So he posted on his Snapchat, basically, I mean, he set it up like, hey, I'm going to Old Navy. Hey, I'm on my way to Old Navy. And then the follow-up Snapchat, Dwayne Wade has like three massive bags of clothes from Old Navy. And I'm guessing it probably costs like $80 total. Because he said he got a lot of new t-shirts. And t-shirts are like $4 at Old Navy.
Right.
So he wanted lots of money on the open market that he didn't think he got enough of from the Heat, but he got $47 million.
Well, here's the thing, though. You have to be thrifty when you've taken pay cuts over the last few years in Miami in order, because he took a pay cut when LeBron and Bosh went to Miami so that they could re-sign Udonis Haslem. He took another pay cut when LeBron left so they could max out Bosh to keep him from going to Houston. He's got a family to feed. He can't be out here buying clothes at Nordstrom if you can buy clothes at Old Navy.
Famous words from Dwayne Wade. When I do Old Navy, I do Old Navy. And I guess that's what he's doing in L.A., also hooping, getting some workouts in, but also having a little bit of trouble when he's going to get his either morning coffee or afternoon iced coffee.
Or post-workout coffee.
Post-workout something.
Maybe he likes pastries, I don't know.
Starbucks misspelled Dwayne's name on his cup.
Yes.
And, you know, it got pointed out on social media. Someone said Dwayne Wade's struggling in Chicago. He's quick to point out people in Chicago know how to spell his name. But the funny part of this Starbucks spelling snafu was not that it was D-W-A-Y-N-E, which is how Dwayne is traditionally spelled, how a lot of people spell it. Wade has the Y before the A. No. Starbucks spelled this one D-U-A-N-E.
I don't know what Starbucks barista is out there. Like, when Dwayne Wade, even if you're, like, not a sports fan, Dwayne Wade is one of these guys. He's been famous for long enough. If Dwayne Wade walks into your Starbucks, you should know who Dwayne Wade is.
Yeah,
how to spell it.
He's
and
an icon.
If you're gonna misspell his name, at least, like you said, spell the D-W-A-Y-N-E. Like that one's at least defensible because he does spell his name in an unusual way, but the way that the barista spelled it,
it's like an old man. It, like, feels like the old man that lives next door, that type of Dwayne.
It's
you
not
know?
Even close. Like, I'll go to coffee places sometimes, and they'll ask me for my name, and I'll tell them Sean, and they'll sometimes they'll write
there are a lot of Sean's.
So sometimes they'll write S-H-A-W-N on it, and I'm just like,
you just gotta wear it.
And I'm just like, okay, fine, that's common, I get it. But then sometimes they'll write like S-H-A-U-N, and I'm just like, there are so few people that spell it that way, except for shout out to Sean Hickenbottom of the Bulls PR.
Very, very.
That's our guy,
true.
But
S-H-A-U-N.
He's the only person I know who spells it like that.
Yeah. That's not the only thing. We kind of like just a lot of funny quotes today, like a quote of the day episode, it feels like. But Jimmy also, when he's not playing football and torching Klay Thompson on fade routes in Rio, passes from Monty Williams, assistant coach for Team USA.
Yeah, Monty's got an arm, by the way.
Yeah, he chucked the ball like 40, 50 yards right on the dot. Jimmy also was quoted by our friend Roger Sherman at
SB Nation.
SB Nation. Regarding the cruise ship the Americans are staying on, because that's what, when you're as big of a deal as the Team USA is for basketball, you don't stay in the athletes' village. You stay on a luxury cruise ship. Jimmy Butler said, quote, "I just do what I'm told. They told me to sleep on a boat, so I sleep on a boat."
Now, just for some context here, Jimmy has been taking a little bit of grief from some of his USA teammates for being afraid of water.
Yeah, so...
Which is also hilarious.
Jimmy toughing it out. You know?
Yeah. I mean, he's just a kid from Tomball, Texas, after all, right?
That's very true. It's going to be great. When he wins the gold medal, he's going to reference Tomball. I think he needs to take his gold medal back to Tomball. If we're getting ahead of ourselves with Team USA...
Well, you don't know that they're going to win the gold medal, Cody.
They're going to win the gold medal. I'm telling you right now, don't want to spoil the surprise, but they're going to win the gold medal. So the only question remaining in all this is, where's Jimmy Butler going to put his gold medal? And it's either on the Boombox Fish Aquarium.
Which, by the way, if he's supposedly...
Or Tomball.
Which, by the way, let's talk about the Boombox Aquarium, because if he's supposedly afraid of water, how does he have that? Like and then,
there's so many contradictions.
Something just doesn't
here.
Add up. Something doesn't add up here.
Well, I mean, he's got a big crew, so I'm sure they handle feeding the fish, maintaining the aquarium, which is, like, more gallons of water than, like, milk, I think, the entire family of everyone in Chicago's ever bought, even. Like, it's the most massive aquarium you could possibly fit in an apartment in Chicago, I think.
This is what we talk about in August.
Maybe, yeah, that's very true. We're running low on content. But I have assigned Chris Hine of the Chicago Tribune is down there covering the Olympics for the Tribune. I did assign him after Team USA wins the gold medal. I assume he or a colleague will be there to kind of trot down Jimmy's journey, more or less. And I told him, ask him where Jimmy's going to put the gold medal, because I think that's the most important question we have remaining in these Olympics.
I think we're going to see it next year. We're going to see it hanging in the locker just to show who's in charge.
Isn't that what Kobe did? Motivate your teammates. So that was the famous Kobe story. The night he played his last game at the United Center, he referenced his relationship with Pau Gasol, who's on the Bulls there. Great friends. And out of the 2008 Olympics, Team USA beat Spain in the final, and Kobe knew he could motivate Pau. They just lost the NBA Finals to the Celtics in 2008. Then Kobe and Team USA beat Pau in Spain, and Kobe motivated Pau by putting his gold medal in his locker on the first day of training camp. Maybe that's what Jimmy does.
With Nico,
very true. And Chris, don't count out Brazil yet.
Don't count out Brazil yet. They did lose to Lithuania.
I definitely think we have to see the gold medal, though. But I think
we'll see
its rightful place.
If we see it in Tomball, I don't know if we'll see it at media day, but we will see it in his locker at some point during the season. That is my bold prediction.
6 months in Tomball, 6 months a year by the Boombox Aquarium, after initially showing it off to the Chicago media and all his teammates to motivate the Bulls. But yes, that's all the silliness we have, I think, coming out of the Olympics. USA, Australia on Wednesday, yeah. USA, Serbia on Friday. A couple weekends from now, Team USA wins the gold medal. Breaking news, we broke it here first. Team USA is going to win the gold medal.
Dude, spoil. I mean, I know it's on tape delay, but is it really on that much of tape delay? Like, you've not spoiled it for me like that. I'm mad.
Roughing it there. But as always, you can email us basketball questions, advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at lockedonbulls. Follow Sean at Tyken or myself at Cody Westerlund. Sean, where do they find us?
Everywhere that podcasts exist. iTunes, go on iTunes, leave us 5-star review. We're on Stitcher. We're on Audio Boom.
Google Play.
We're on Google Play. We're on TuneIn. Everywhere you can get podcasts, we are on.
Tell your friends, leave a 5-star review, and please tune in next time. Until then, take care, and thanks for listening.